I'm recording this video a couple hours before polls close in Michigan. Now, this is a little dangerous because I have to make a prediction, and because this won't be published until the next day, so this is Tuesday, August 4th, you won't see this until Wednesday, August 5th, I have to get this right. If I don't get this right, then it's not that the video is going to be moot, but it does make it a little embarrassing. But I feel confident in this prediction. So I'm recording this a couple hours before polls close, and I think we're going to see that Abdul El-Sayed won pretty handily over his opponent, Haley Stevens. I think it's going to be a clean win, and there isn't going to be that much drama about whether he prevails. And so he'll be the Democratic Party's nominee for Senate in Michigan. I said this in a previous video, I'm actually pretty confident that he will end up winning in the general. It's not just that he's a very talented politician. One does not run as something of an insurgent and then win without having real political talent, real political skills, and vice versa. I think the claims about Stevens's perceived electability really fall flat when you see that in an actual competition, an actual contest, she just doesn't seem to have the juice. But more than that, it's just national conditions. Generic ballot right now is around D plus 6.5 points. It ranges, depending on the poll, from basically a low of D plus 6 to highs of D plus 9, D plus 10. It's going to be a strong Democratic environment. And even if El-Sayed does incur a minor electoral penalty for ideology, which I'm doubtful that that's really all that much of a thing, but in as much as it is, I just don't think it's really going to matter much. I don't think it's going to be an especially difficult race for him to win in the fall. Now, that bit of prediction out of the way, I think I should say a little bit about how I think of primaries. I think of primaries as the place where factional battles ought to be fought. If you represent the populist left, if you represent the center-left establishment, like whatever faction of the Democratic Party you represent, the primary is the place to fight it out and try to win a victory, try to prove your theory of the case when it comes to winning elections. And if you win the primary and win the general, then congratulations, you may have proven your theory of the case. But I also think that all this factional fighting needs to stop once the primary is decided. Once the voters, who are the people who matter here, the voters, once the voters weigh in on who they want to represent them or try to represent them in Congress, who they want to represent them as a candidate in the general election, once those voters weigh in, I think the various players in these factional battles, party elites, politicians, pundits, journalists, random people online, like whoever, I think they should cool their heels and say, all right, we have a nominee and let's fight the factional battles again after that person wins, right? Like after the election cycle. But in the meantime, let's try to beat the Republican. That's the goal, to beat the Republican, and then you can resume all your factional fighting afterwards. Over the last decade, there's been lots of complaining about factional battles, especially factional battles that continue through the general election. And often when there are these discussions of factionalism, the blame is thrown on the political left. But I think that's unfair. I think that's unfair because there's a fair amount of centrist and establishment factionalism as well. A fair amount of people representing the mainstream, so to speak, and I really hate that term, the party establishment, the entrenched power within the Democratic Party, people representing that faction, engaging in all kinds of factional infighting all the time. When you see a moderate or centrist Democrat give an interview disparaging a more left-wing Democrat, often under the pretense of trying to distinguish oneself from that person, trying to create some distance, that is factional infighting. And it does no one any good, right? It damages the overall national party brand. It damages that particular moderate and centrist standing with voters who may well like that left-leaning Democrat, and it may well damage that left-leaning Democrat. It's counterproductive. But there's a lot of moderate and centrist factionalism. You're seeing it with Abdul El-Sayed. You're seeing it with various Democratic lawmakers saying it's a travesty that this guy might represent the party. You saw it with Zohran Mamdani. You somewhat often see it with Muslim and Arab Democrats, which maybe tells you something about the acceptability of Islamophobia and anti-Arab racism in American politics and within the Democratic Party. But it's there. And if moderate Democrats want to urge more left-leaning Democrats to avoid the factionalism, to vote blue no matter who, then they have to do the same. They have to act in kind. That doesn't mean there won't be antagonisms. That doesn't mean there won't be, again, factional fighting afterwards. But when it's general election time, I think everyone has to heed those words. And I'll say, I don't necessarily think it is inevitable that you have to have this furious clash between the two sides. I look at Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, and Mamdani, the mayor of New York City, and their very strong working relationship. They come from different parts of the party, but they recognize that they need each other, that they can have a positive sum relationship. And I do think that the Democratic establishment would be much better off if it recognized the extent to which its left-wing challengers often are speaking the language of actual Democratic voters, and that the establishment could benefit, if not by giving a little, then by being magnanimous, either in victory or in defeat. The fact of the matter is that the Democratic establishment is pretty out of touch with loads of Democratic voters, and not necessarily for ideological reasons, but for a sense that they just are not standing up for themselves, not standing up for the party, not standing up for the country in the face of a terrible assault from Donald Trump and his various minions. Voters want fight and a commitment to broad progressive ideas, in addition to being something that I think a lot of Democratic voters very much want, also represents a turn away from the timidity that people associate with Democratic leaders. It's a signaling mechanism, the same way opposition to aid for Israel is a signaling mechanism. It's telling voters something about that candidate, about their approach, about their attitude, about their orientation towards the larger political world. If establishment Democrats want to have any hope of really holding on, they have to recognize things are changing beneath their feet and they have to adjust. And I think some of them can. Again, Kathy Hochul is a good example. I think some of them can respond to what is happening. As I've argued before, the desire for more energy in Democratic leadership does not necessarily cut across ideological lines. It's entirely possible for a moderate or a centrist Democrat to show that kind of energy, to embrace the willingness to fight, to stand up for something. It would require them to articulate something to stand up for, but moderate Democrats in the past have been able to do that. There's nothing fixed in place about how moderation has to read. But as long as Democratic voters associate moderation and establishment sympathies with being afraid to fight, then those establishment candidates are going to keep losing. They're going to keep losing to people who bring energy to the game, who seem to stand for something, who understand that people are angry, that understand that people want fighters, and are willing to play that role. As always, tell me what you think, and I'll see you next time.
Update.
So I'm recording this after the Michigan primary, and it looks like I got a couple of things wrong. I predicted it wasn't going to be especially close. It was very close, I think less than 2 points in the end. Abdul El-Sayed did win the primary, but Haley Stevens was quite close the entire time. Stevens did better than anticipated among rural Michiganders, and El-Sayed did much better than expected among Black Michiganders, which I think scrambles some easy narratives about this primary. I think also if you step back, what we have is a competitive primary where more than 1.4 million votes were cast. That bodes quite well, I think, for Democratic chances in the fall. One quick postscript I do want to make is that by this morning, it was pretty clear that El-Sayed was going to win this race. And what you saw from Stevens in her camp weren't recriminations or anger. It was an enthusiastic endorsement of El-Sayed, a promise to work hard for Democratic chances in November. And then in El-Sayed's case, a promise to pursue unity. He thanked Stevens for a hard-fought race and promised to unite the party ahead of the general election. This is exactly what I am looking for in all of this. Fight hard during the primary, but once a winner is decided, once the voters have chosen, make up, and you figure it out for next steps. You look for ways to bring everyone together, both rhetorically and substantively, hiring people from the other campaign, for example. It's not that factional battles are not important, but that there is a larger aim here, and that is defeating the Republican candidate, restoring some measure of sanity and decency to Washington. You got to keep your eye on the prize, and it looks like both El-Sayed and Stevens are doing just that.